Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
And I've taught on First Fruits. We do this two times a year now. First Fruits is a very important message. How many of you were ever taught that First Fruit and tithes was the same in your religious upbringing? Nobody? Wow. A few of you. Okay. We find that has been generally the most teaching about it. But the First Fruits is not the same as tithes. I'm going to just walk through a few things before I get into the PowerPoint that I want to use. First fruit, let me back up. Tithe is the first 10%. Everybody say the first 10%.
First 10%.
It's not just 10% of your income. It's the first 10% of your harvest. How many of you had a harvest this week? Anybody get paid? That's a harvest. You planted the seed of your work and sweat and effort, and you reaped a harvest. And so the tithe is the first 10%. Anything above the tithe is seed. Say that with me. Anything above the tithe is seed. Now, I don't mean to bust your bubble, but I'm going to. If you believe just tithing gets you the harvest that God wants you to have, it does not. Because you must plant seed. You must plant something above the tithe to be able to reap a harvest. Okay? And so it's very important to understand that. Another thing I want you to understand, the tithe, the first 10%, entitles you. But the offering, whether it be first fruits or several different kinds of offering, but the offering, the seed of an offering empowers you. Amen. How many want to move beyond just being entitled to something? Amen. In Psalms 25 and verse 14, it says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear God." Remember, fearing God is not about being fearful of him punishing you. That's the wrong view of God. The fear of God is an all. How many of you any time during this service felt the all of God? I mean, there was a time when it was just up here where I don't want to say up here. In my sphere, the presence of God came on me and I just started weeping. And the all of God filled my heart. And that's a wonderful. And so, it says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear God, and he will make his covenant known unto them." Now, let me help you with something. That's not a covenant you read about. Yeah, we need to read his promises, but how many of you know it's one thing to read his promises, another thing to live in them? He worked in the selling of our house. We closed on Thursday. Smooth deal, no hitches, it's gone. We're approved at 3.8% interest on the conventional loan on the house we bought last July. God is working. That's a good interest rate. Amen? If we would have closed a little bit sooner, we would have got 3.6, but it's easing up right now, interest is. And so we're watching at it. So we're approved. We know that God revealed his covenant of provision to Susan and I in the sale of that house. How many of you know many loans get down to the day of closing and there's a hitch and they get delayed? Many things can happen. We watch. Can I tell you why some of it happened? Because you were praying. And you were standing in agreement with us. And you had stood and you had honored us with your prayers. And so the first fruits, the tithe is the first 10% of the harvest you have. First fruits is a sacrificial portion of the harvest you desire to have. For the sale of this house, Susan and I, on several occasions, we planted seed. We planted first fruit seed to see the complete. See, the harvest we desired was that house gone, sold. We wanted somebody to be blessed for that house. Can I tell you what? I don't know where they've spent a night there or not. They might just be moving in. I don't know. But I promise you, the presence of God's going to overwhelm that couple. You say, "How do you know that?" Because we left it there. We imparted. In fact, after we had signed and closed on the house on Thursday, we drove by there and I spoke blessings over the people in the house. We didn't just sell a house. Can I tell you what? We sold the presence of God into someone. I don't know anything about the couple that bought it. They might know Christ. They might not. If they don't, they will. And if they do, he's going to become more intimate. You say, why? Because we prayed too much. We had her parents that lived their life out there. We saw things in that house. We saw God heal situations in our own family there. And I know I'm talking about, but I want you to catch that the first fruits is a sacrificial portion of the harvest you desire. How many of you know that when you're trying to sell a house and you sow a first fruits before it's sold, that money didn't come out of that house sale. We had to sacrifice from something else to be able to plant it. Am I making sense to you? Okay, let's go to the PowerPoint, Chuck, please. When you really become one with this truth, and let me explain so you understand where my language is at. How many of you know, understand that there are truth today you believe, and there's truth today you know, and there's a difference? See, when you know something, you become one with it, you become intimate with it. Things you believe you are carriers of, but you're not one with it. Okay? And so when you come into being one with the first fruits offering, it's going to bring financial freedom. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, it speaks about having an abundance for every good work. So what nation in the world is on your heart? Do you like to go there sometime?
France.
Okay. Now, if I had an abundance for every good work, I'd just write her a check for $5,000 and say, here, when the timing's right, here's the seed. We had a couple years ago send us some money for Australia. I've not been there yet. But when the time comes, the seed's there. In fact, I had a lady recently. She's in Perth, and we were talking. She said, I feel like you're supposed to come to Australia. I said, I know I'm supposed to. We've had words for 20 years over it. But every time I prepare or set my heart, God said, not yet. Just wait. I want to open that door. How many of you know going in the timing of the Lord is so crucial? You can go in your own timing and nothing won't happen. The other day when all those meetings started shifting and they told me I wasn't going to open the Senate in prayer, and they told me the Secretary of State wasn't going to meet with me and all those things going on, I said, God, am I supposed to be there? He said, yes. I've got something for you to do there. And so I went, not knowing what was going to happen. How many of you are familiar with the Family Council? Great ministry, great organization. I got to have lunch with the guy. Jerry Cox is his name. He's over that in the state of Arkansas. We had great conversation. We communicate. God orders our steps. And when you've given first fruits, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 19, it speaks about having the power to eat of wealth is a gift from God. How many of you know there's a lot of preaching that says money's evil? That's not what the Word of God says. It said the love of mammon or the love of money. See, there's nothing wrong with having finances, but it's something wrong when finances have you. What is it in your life? Can I tell you, what is it in your life that you're not willing to give up? You wouldn't be willing to sow. Amen? What is it in your life that you're not willing to turn? What that thing is holding you. You know, I have a Harley Davidson that was given to me, and because it was given to me, it really means something. But every once in a while I say, Lord, if you want me to give it, just speak to me. And then I do like this. Not really. See, we all need to understand that we need to have the power to eat of wealth. That's really a gift, and not let the wealth eat of us. Money will destroy you. Someone posted the other day when the lottery is up to $500 million, what should you do? I've got a whole plan written out. My wife challenged me years ago. You know, Sister Doris brought it up today, but quite a few years ago, it hadn't come to pass. We had a lady who deals in jet fuel and gold make a vow to this church for $24 million. Now, it's not come to pass. She actually sent us a deposit slip. And, I mean, everything, you know, we had it filled out. I carried it in my billfold. I wore it out. And I'm still believing for that to come. But let me tell you what Susan challenged. She said, you need to sit down and get advisory council what we're going to do with this when it comes in. How many of you know you need a plan? And first fruits will release wealth to you. Go to the next slide. But you've got to have a plan to do it. See, it's the way to greater life. And if, in Genesis 4, it said, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and she bore Cain and said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, and this time his brother was named Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And say this, in the process of time. Now let me share something with you about that statement today. Some of you are sitting at a tipping point in the process of time for things to shift in your life to bring you into a greater dimension of the release of the wealth that God has laid up for you. I'm speaking to those that can reach and grab that. Now let me share something with you. Money doesn't grow on trees and it doesn't fall out of heaven. But God has the ability to shift wealth to you. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel. How many of you want to be respected? Amen. It's just real simple. There's a word that always goes with respect. It's called obedience. God respects. God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of your obedience. And when you step into obedience, it brings respect. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now, let me share with you just for a moment, and we'll get on this slide. But you need to understand the reason that he didn't receive Cain's offering was not that it was just wrong, but Cain brought it out of preference. Abel brought it out of conviction. I want that to settle in on you. What's the difference? Faith. How many of you know what you prefer to do and what you're convicted to do is the difference is responding in faith? Amen? Think about that. Conviction is one way that God speaks. Right? What does it say? When God speaks, faith comes. And so there was faith involved. Cain's offering had no faith involved. He gave what was convenient. He gave what he preferred to. He gave what was easy. How many of you ever paid, how much does a gallon of milk cost these days? What?
About $3.
Okay. How many of you ever paid 4.5 for a gallon at the convenience store because it was convenient? Come on, we all have. You know, we've done something like that. God is seeking to move the body of Christ out of living out of their preference and convenience and moving into conviction, to a place of conviction and a place of sacrifice. Yeah, you know, the Word of God says something that really profounds me. It says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Right? But you know what I've discovered? I've discovered that obedience always is a sacrifice. It's never convenient. Amen? It's never convenient to do. But I'm convicted about doing what God has convicted me to do. See, in the process of time, that means the at the end of the day, God always begins at the end of the day. How many of you remember, and he talked about in the very beginning, he started with darkness, but he ended up in light. That's what God wants for you in your financial realm. How many of your finances look kind of dark right now? It can shift, okay? Abel brought the firstlings. This means the birthright of the firstborn. He brought his best. He didn't bring something with spot and blemish. He brought the best. How many of you noticed that a lot of breeds of dog today have a lot of health issues? Pure breeds, purebred. Come on, am I being right? It's because they've become inbreeding, and that's the reason the firstlings or the firstborn is always healthier. You know, according to agronomy and according to agri, the first apples that come on an apple tree have the best seed to plant another tree. The first wheat that ripens in the field is the best. He brought, number three, he brought of their fat. This means he brought the best, the most healthy, for without spot and blemish, it means a supreme sacrifice. How many of you know, rather than give the firstling that he had, he could have held it back to breed again and get a better stock. But he chose to trust God to give, to make all of his stock great, significant, and the best. Go to the respect means God stood amazed and showed favor as a result of it. Let me just share something with you. Some of you are going to sow first fruits today for the umpteenth time that you did, but finally this thing is clicking in your spirit. You're becoming one with it, and God's going to stand amazed and respect your offering today. Are you hearing me? Would someone get me a water? And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. How many of you want all grace to abound? Listen, the empowering grace of God, there's nothing on earth like it. Abound toward you that you having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. How does God make grace abound toward you? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "For there, if there is first a willing mind, is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what one does not have." That's what the Word of God said. Now let me share with you what makes a difference. I'm going to pick on Jerry Berry. He's a friend of mine today. But let's say that Jerry is sitting here, and in his ability to give, he's only able to sow $50 first fruits. But Jerry could be sitting here with a $5,000 heart of faith. God doesn't just receive what comes from your hand, he received what comes from your heart, and that is faith. And when faith is there, you can name your seed and you will see a harvest. Am I doing okay? You're a little bit quiet, but I want you to catch this day. Thank you, Chris. Blessings on you. According to your faith, what comes from your heart and not just comes from your hand. How many of you know this first fruits offering you give is not going to go to God? It's going to go to City Gate Church. Let me just explain to you what we're going to do with it so you understand. Number one, we're going to reduce some debt that we have. Number two, we're in need of a new Apple computer, Pro Presenter, is that what it is? Software to do our presenting up here. We're in need of some new speakers. You know, we're outdated. We've pushed these as far as we can. We need to free them up. These are just some of the things that we need to do. Matt sent me a whole list the other day. I read over it, prayed it, touched it. Said, "Lord, help my unbelief." I believe, but help my unbelief. But I know that we can. We're shifting our streaming service because of research that Matt has done. We're shifting our streaming just real soon. We're going to be able to stream 24/7. You say, what does that mean? I'm doing an advertising. We're going to be able to put all of our announcements so when we're not having services, you can go to the website and everything will be listed there. You can see it during the week or upcoming things or testimonies. Listen, when that Iraqi vet comes in here one day and that leg that was blown off grows out, we're going to put a video of that on the website. You notice I didn't say if it happened. I said when it happened. And so, see, the best, Ezekiel 44:30 says, the best of all first fruits of any kind and every sacrifice of any kind from all your sacrifice shall be the priest. Also, you shall give to the priest the first of your ground meal. Why? To cause a blessing to rest upon your house. Now, number one, that doesn't just mean your physical house. It does mean that, but it's more than your physical house. It's your lineage. Let me just share something. I've got some great grandkids that have not been born yet, and the first fruit that we sow today is going to have an effect on them. Let that settle in. It comes upon your lineage. Amen? It comes upon your lineage. It comes upon your family. And God wants to bless. And so a cause blessing will rest in your life. If we want the greater blessing that God has, we need desire to have in our lives. We must step out of that which happens by default and step into that which is called. How many of you know that righteous obedience with submissive heart creates something that ends up in a result to what God wants to happen? I got news for you. God wants to bless you more than you desire to be blessed. He promised in Malachi that we'll bring the tithe and offering, first fruit is an offering, into the storehouse, that he will open the window in heaven and cause a blessing that you cannot hold to come upon you. That's his word. That's not a preacher's word. Let's go on to the next one. Here's the threefold blessing. Next slide. To rest. The blessing comes to stay. I did a many years research of King David, and I discovered, this is as far as I carried it, 613 years after King David died, God blessed one of his descendants because of David's faithfulness. That's pretty key. Let that settle into your spirit. 613 years after King David died, God looked down. One of his descendants was not living for the Lord, not being obedient to God. And God said, well, you know, because of his great, 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 whatever, I'm going to bless him. We can have an effect on our descendants. See, the first fruits can shove you into a dimension of life more abundant. Anybody here doesn't want life more abundant? Next one. To rest on your house. I've already talked about this. Not just your physical house of wood and brick, but it speaks of your lineage. 2 Samuel 7:16 said, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. Throne speaks about authority. Some of you know, I've shared it here. When my dad died, the Lord spoke to me and said, this day you will live. From this day forward, you'll live out the rest of your life in your dad's authority and your authority. And then several months later, he spoke to me one morning in Colorado Springs and said, this day, the authority of every Nash who's gone before you comes upon you. Now, can I tell you what I told Susan? I said to her, I don't even know if this is doctrinally sound, but I heard God say it. And later that night, I've shared this before, a woman drove to the service I was preaching in Colorado Springs and prophesied that. Said, God sent me here to tell you that this day the authority of every Nash that's gone before you comes upon you. And so what it's talking about our lineage, but it's talking about your throne. A throne speaks of authority. Your authority shall be established forever. One day, as the Lord tarries, I'm going to go to be with the Lord. Your faith might be that he's coming back before then. My faith is that one day I'm going to speak blessings over my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and spiritual sons and daughters. And let me tell you what I'm planning to do. When that day comes, I'm going to recognize it, and I'm going to say, God, bring that fiery chariot. I'm ready to go. Amen? I don't want to live past my time, but I want to live every moment of my time. And so at that time, I believe, you know, that's where my faith is at. I don't believe that he's coming back that soon. And so it'll rest upon it. 2 Kings 8:19 says, yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for the sake of his servant David, as he promised to him to give a lamp to him and his sons forever. I believe it's going to come on my son, Dean. I believe it's going to come on my my son-in-law, Roger. I believe it's going to come on my grandson, Logan. I believe it's going to come. It's going to keep going down and going down, and they're going to walk in authority. Amen? And the authority is not going to be man-made. It's going to be given to them because of a relational covenant with the King of Kings. Is this making sense? In Exodus 23... it says, the first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord. Leviticus 23 says, speak to the children of Israel, say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, reap its harvest. Then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of the harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath. Don't change right there at that point. I want to say something to you. According to Jewish history, the history of Israel, if you were a covenant Israelite, when the barley or wheat first ripened, you would go out into the field. Anybody here ever been around wheat enough in a field? You notice when you're driving by there about May, sometime around May the 15th, May the 20th, a portion of that green field will ripen and begin to turn brown or gold first. That's first fruits. And if you were a covenant Israelite, you would go into that field and you would harvest that and you would bring it as a wave or sheave offering to the priest. If you were a non-covenant Israelite, you would harvest that and you would take that seed and you would wrap it up in a cloth. You would store it somewhere where moisture couldn't get to it. You would store it somewhere where moths and weevils and bugs couldn't get to it, because that was the only potential you had to plant another crop. So what is the covenant Israelite saying? It's saying, I'm going to trust you, God, for seed. Did I not read in the old book, he gives seed to the sower? 2 Corinthians. And so what it does is they're saying, I'm going to covenant with you, God. See, between when wheat first ripens, especially in the Middle East, until it's full harvest, there is the danger of hailstorms. And they would come and they would beat all of the wheat off of the stalk. And once it beat off the stalk, then it was not as healthy for planting. So what the covenant Israelite was saying, God, I'm going to trust your insurance policy called first fruits. Anybody here have insurance on your car? How does it work? Somebody backs into it, insurance pays. If they back into it and drive off, your insurance paid. You carry full coverage or collision, they call it, that's what happened. Am I right? Let me tell you how God's insurance works. It fulfills Malachi where it says he'll rebuke the devourer. God's insurance policy works by keeping the devourer from coming, and it keeps the damage from ever happening. Are you hearing me? Can I just share with you a testimony? I use this. Some of you have heard this many times, but when the tornado came to Dyersburg, Susan and I were in Waco, Texas. Our children was in our house. Tornado came, blew our barn completely away, blew big trees in our front yard completely away, went over the next subdivision, killed a little girl. Our three children, our oldest daughter was old enough to be looking after the other two. We were on a trip to Waco to raise money for Africa, and we got a call about it. It blew some shingles off and jerked the electricity that came from the pole to the house. It shook it till jerked it out of the house, but our house wasn't damaged. When the contractor came out about replacing the shingles on the house and reconnecting the electricity, this is what he said to me. He didn't know I was a preacher. We'd never met. We didn't have any relationship. He didn't know anything. The insurance company sent him out, and he looked at the barn gone and all the trees in the backyard. I'm talking about trees this big around were ripped out of the ground. In the front yard, trees this big around ripped out of the ground. It took a magnolia tree and turned it round and round till it twisted it off. And this is what he said. He said, you know, mister, if I didn't know better, I'd say this tornado split and went on either side of your house. I said, I know better, and that's what happened. Because he rebuked the devourer for our sake. The most precious thing we had in the earth was in that house. my three children. And I asked the kids about it later. I said, what was it like? We didn't even get scared. We just thought it was the hardest rain we've ever seen in our life. That's God. They were surprised when the rain quit and they could see out back in the barn. I mean, we had a big, four-stall barn, had a tractor sitting in it. I mean, you know, with it, I mean, it's gone. We found it 5 miles away hanging in a tree. Why? Because God rebuked the devourer. First fruits works like an insurance to protect you. Recently, I drove 2,800 miles in 72 hours and did a funeral, and I was claiming my first fruits provision the whole trip. I don't know whether you understand this or not, but there are some people out on the highway that need to go back to driving school. And I'm not talking about me. Okay? I'm scared. I'm seeing people. Last night, we were headed to, when we left Ivy after having a meal, when it was sometime last night, someone came across the lane over into our lane, you know, with it. And we need to understand, God can protect you. Are you hearing me? It's important to understand that. Let's go on. Go to the next one. So the Lord brought us, Deuteronomy, brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, with a great terror, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us to this place and had given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 10, and now behold, I brought you to the first fruit, brought the first fruits of the land with you, O Lord has given me, then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord. Let me just share with you. When you plant first fruit seed, it gives you the right to enter into the promised land, the promises of God, which is a land filled with milk and honey. Now, I'm going to try to say something in as much humility as I know how to say. Susan and I live in the land of milk and honey. And if you're not, you can. Amen? You got to start believing, whether it's your job or your business or whatever you're doing, that God wants to promote you and he wants to bless you. Amen? Listen, some of you know the story. Several years ago, I flew on American Airlines for the first time in 14 years. And I got there and I passed my little thing in front of the kiosk and it said, go to the desk. And I came that close to copping an attitude. What's wrong now? And I went to the desk, and this is what the lady said to me. She said, well, Reverend Nash, we noticed that you've not flown with American Airlines in 14 years. And we would like to have your business back. And so for your whole trip to Albuquerque and back, we're going to bump you up to first class. Would that be okay? Let me pray about it. Yes. In fact, it was a very strange flight out of Albuquerque back to Dallas. I was the only person in first class. I finally tell them, I'm working on tomorrow's sermon. I don't need any more water. I don't need any more peanuts. The favor of God. Soon then I've seen it with Hertz Rent-A-Car. We've seen it with hotel rooms. We've seen that over and over and over. And that might sound like vain things. It's not. It's how much the Father loves you. Not just me, you. And he wants to bless you on another dimension and move you into it. We've been practicing first fruits since 1991. We've not missed a year that we don't first fruits two or three times a year or more. We do it officially, if you want to call it that, two times a year here. But you can sow first fruit anytime that you want to and release faith for it. Are you hearing me? I love Nehemiah, verse 35. And we made ordinances to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all the fruits of the tree year by year to the house of God. It's not something you do one time. It's got to become a lifestyle. Let me share. Somebody's probably sitting here thinking, well, he's just teaching this today because it's going to raise money to pay off debt and to buy all this stuff. No, we do this two times a year. Can I share with you? If that's what your attitude is, don't give. I double dog Mississippi dare you, don't give. Because it's not going to get you anything if you have an attitude like that. You got to release some faith. So please don't give if you think I'm trying to manipulate you. If I needed to raise this money, I know how to come for you. We need to buy a new Mac computer. We need to buy the new software. Would you partner with us and help us buy it? I know how to do that. How many of you have been here? Vicki, you've been in this church since I started. How many times have we had to take up special offerings since I came here? once or twice maybe, might mention we're going to do something. Are you hearing me? Can I tell you, in the fall, first fruits, you want to know what it's going to be? We're going to start putting together money to completely revamp the whole foyer out there. I don't know where we'll put the carpet or tile. We're going to tear out some walls. We're going to make it bigger. Even if we raise enough money, we're going to move the glass out further so the foyer is bigger. That's our vision here. There's a lot of things that can go on out there that are not going on out there because it's not big enough. Are you hearing me? Nehemiah 12 and 44. And at the same time, some were appointed over the rooms of the storehouse for the offerings, the first fruits, and the tithes. Are you seeing here that tithes and first fruits and offerings are different? Now, first fruits is an offering, but it's just one type of offering. There's a heave offering. There's many different offerings with that. And first fruit and the tithes gathered into them from the fields of the cities, the portion specified by the law for the priests and the Levites, for Judah rejoiced over the priests and Levites who ministered. Go to the next one. And for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits, remember me, O my God, for good. And then the last one I'm going to use is, I love this, and honor the Lord with your possessions. Can I tell you one of the ways you honor the Lord with your possessions? Take good care of it. Appreciate it. God sent me an $1,100 Jetta diesel car in 1989 that had 200,000 miles on it to prophesy to Paul Kane. But I treated that Jetta like it was a brand new car. When it needed boots on it, I put boots on the axles. When the seat got tore, I carried it somewhere and had it repaired. When the door handle broke, I fixed it. I didn't just let it run down. That car ran to 350,000 miles. Why? Because, let's go back to this. I want you to catch this. It says there, honor the Lord with your possessions, okay? You got to be willing to give them up. That's one way you can honor him. You can make them work for God's best. You can do things. You know what's a shame? If you got any money in CDs today, if you got any money deposited, the interest is real low. Wouldn't it be great if Christians would come together and pool it? And, you know, we pay 4% on this building. That's more than most people get for their money that they have just in a interest-bearing an account. Wouldn't it be great if we could put together a Christian co-op to where it would pay you more interest? See, some of you don't like, but what if you quit paying? Well, if we quit paying, the bank's going to come get it. If we quit paying, you're holding the title deed to it, you can sell the building. We owe about $480,000 on this building. It appraises for $1.7 million. I mean, I think you would come out to the good. Are you hearing me? With the first fruits of all your increase, why? So your barns, I like that word, barns. Do you know that God so wants to bless you that you can have more than one barn for storage? Right now, we're going through some storage stuff. You know, we changed houses. We're getting rid of stuff. How many of you realize in America we collect a lot of things we really don't need? You know, one of my greatest revelations was one day we found the wedding cake in a tin. Huh? Yeah, the top tier of the wedding cake in a metal tin in our deep freeze. And I told Susan, I said, why are we keeping that? I ain't eating it. And we threw it out. We'd had it like 15 years or more, 20. Why do we do that stuff? Don't we do this stuff? So your barns will be filled with plenty. How many want plenty? Amen. Like, can I tell you the key to plenty? Being a giver. That's the key to plenty. God doesn't bless people with plenty that are not givers. I'm really preaching better than your amen. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. How many of you want some new wine? Let me tell you what new wine's about, okay? Do you realize as wine ages, the alcohol content goes down? New wine is more brings more joy. Now, that's not the way to get joy. There's a joy that comes of the fruit of the Spirit and not the spirit of the fruit. Uh-oh, we just offended 14 people. But it's talking about a spiritual joy that God wants you to have. I am amazed how people post negative stuff all the time. You know, I'm, you know, they're always against the church. Can I tell you what? The church is changing. But let me tell you what the church is. It's God's expression in the earth. As much as it needs to be healed, as much as it needs to transition, as much as everything, it's still his expression in the earth. Go to the next one. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst and your wine vats will brim over. See, the first grain that ripens in the field is always stronger and more able to produce. Do you realize that? This is so important that you understand. Now, I want to give you just a few more points about this. Number one, here's something that I haven't taught. I want to teach it probably in the fall in a little bit more detail. But do you realize that this is not on the slide, but the tithe aligns you with the local church assembly. When you are a tither, it aligns you with the local ministry you're a part of. Amen? First fruit aligns you with the apostolic. We are an apostolic house. I'm not going to apologize about it. We are an apostolic resource center, a training center here. But first fruits, the churches that practice first fruits the most are those that are leading the apostolic reformation right now. But the tithe aligns you with a local family, a local assembly. But the first fruits aligned you apostolically. If you're not sowing first fruits, you're not coming into apostolic alignment. And that word is not just a buzzword that's being written in many books today. It is the word of now, because alignment is crucial. Look to your neighbor and say, alignment is crucial. Now, let me share something with you. People are not aligned until they function in tithes and in offerings and in first fruits. Had a family leave this church because I said that. You cannot come into the fullness of relational covenant in this house with me if you don't value tithing, offerings, and first fruits. Don't let that settle. Can I share a scripture that backs it up? How can two walk together unless they agree? So if you're not valuing, you know, I'm called to walk with Ivy. He's called to walk with me. I'm called to walk with Jerry and Vicky Berry. They're called to walk. But if we don't agree on something, then we will not have the depth of relational covenant. And I can't wait. I just can't wait. My new manuscript is just almost finished, and it deals with relational covenants. We've got to realize that everything God does is relational. Amen? He wants you to be relational. Let's go to the next one. What is the first fruits of? Number one, it's separate from the tithe. Number two, it's the first portion of the harvest. Number three, it represents the whole of the harvest. I've already mentioned it's like an insurance policy. And when we saw where it's done annually, go to the next one. What happens when I give first fruit? Barns will overflow. Vats will brim with new wine. I'm going to tell you, there is a joy. That when you are a first fruits, it's not even what we pray. When you become one with first fruits, can I tell you something? There's a joy that comes out of that relationship. It is the most wonderful place to live. I've been living here since 91. You know, one of our great stories years ago, when Dawn became of age to drive, being the practical redneck that I am, I bought her a pickup for her first vehicle. The second reason I bought a pickup was because we didn't have a pickup, and we need to pick up because the church that we had at that time, people were all the time moving, and we need something to move people in. And one day she came to me and said, "Dad, I appreciate the pickup, but that's not really what I want. I want to sow a first fruits offering. I want a car." So her and I came into agreement. I got on a plane, flew to Wells. Bob Seymour came in and taught on first fruits in our house in Dyersburg. Dawn gave a first fruits offering, and a couple gave her a Toyota Cresta car a few weeks later. We weren't expecting one to give to her. We just wanted to find the right one. But that was the right one. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to wake you up. You need to come alive to this practice. I don't care if you're here for the first time. I don't care if you're visiting. I don't care if you go back to your home church. I'm telling you, you need to start practicing. I shared last week how my dad sowed a first fruits offering and prayed for twin calves to be born. And, I mean, it was so many that it created a stir in the county he was in near Marshall, Arkansas. It caused a blessing to rest on your house. It causes God to send angels before you to prepare the way. It causes God to be an enemy and an adversary to your enemies and adversaries. Next one. God will overcome the establishment to bring us victory. How many of you realize God's trying to tear down this religious structure in this nation? How many of you understand that the religious structure has caused many people to have a wrong concept of God? God is not apostolic, he's not Baptist, he's not Methodist, he's not Presbyterian, he's God. And we adapt these things with it. I'm very much on the page of apostles and prophets because I read in his word that he will build his church upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, upon the cornerstone of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also goes on there and says he'll annihilate the establishment. You watch and see. Religious structured structured churches, their buildings are going to be offered to churches like this. They're going to pursue out the people that can utilize them. You watch and see. Government officials are going to begin to seek out the prophets and the apostles to speak into their situation. This thing is out of control. Man's wisdom will not turn this nation. We got to have Daniel speaking in to situations for this nation to turn. And let me just tell you, some of you are those Daniels. Let me tell you how to step into that plate. Get this stuff out of your heart that you need to speak so you feel good about yourself. The reason God opens doors to me is I don't need to speak in to the governor of Arkansas, but I got an email about him being at this meeting next week. Not definite. But they want to know, if he comes, can he be there just long enough for y'all to pray for him and bless him with a flag? Yes. But why are they communicating back to me? Because I don't need to speak into the governor so I can boast about it or carve a notch on my prophetic pistol. I want to see this nation turned. Amen. I want to see these states come alive. It will cause our daily provisions to be blessed. It will cause sickness to be eradicated. Let me share something with you. Susan and I, last week, because of the Unaffordable Care Act, did you hear what I just said? Yeah. Let me tell you what the Affordable Care Act would have cost us. 1/3 of our total income. When we went on that website, that's what it would have cost. Last week or week before last, we purchased Samaritan Ministries, because it makes you legal to meet the deal, and it's a Christian co-op. It's not an insurance, okay? With that, that is the first type of insurance or anything we've had. We had a short period of about 6 months one time, but other than that, that's the first one we had since our son was born in 1981. I'm on no medication. She's on no medication. Now, this is... When I do this, people get condemned. All I'm doing is challenge you, there's a higher way of living. Is this okay? Anybody want to throw rotten apples? Stones? Sickness will be eradicated. Go to the next one. No more miscarriages and barrenness. I cannot tell you. I can't count on two hands the the families that have had a lot of miscarriage and barrenness and sowed a first fruits offering. And God filled their womb. Amen? Our appointed days will be fulfilled. These are all promises from first fruits. How many of you want to fulfill your appointed days? I don't know what that is. There's not a certain number of day. 85 years, 26 days, and 13 hours. That's not what I'm talking about. But I believe there's an appointed days for you to accomplish your destiny. Destiny is not a destination. It's a journey. Okay? I love this one. Our enemies will become confused. I love this one. Hornets will be used against our enemies. Anybody ever had a battle with hornets? Anybody ever won a battle with hornets? Mm-mm. I was hunting many years ago, and a guy sat on a place on the ground where there were ground hornets, and they came up into his clothes. And I don't want to be too revealing with children in the room, but the last time I saw him running through the woods about 11 o'clock at night, he was in his birthday suit. He had, I think, 64 bumps the size of that right there on his back where these hornets. They're bad dudes. And if need be, God can send spiritual hornets to drive your... They'll run until they're naked, okay, to get away from you. Our enemies will be gone little by little. Can I help you with something? The scripture says, I think it's in Numbers, it said, we drive the enemies out of our life little by little. Some of you won't have this charismatic event mindset that the next prophetic word you get or the next time somebody lays hands on you, you're never going to have a battle. It don't happen that way. I've conquered some of my enemies. I'm still conquering others. But every act of obedience and every moment of submission to God and every sacrifice that I make, I push them away. I push them to a place. I've had a few of the demons that were assigned to me go back to their commanding officer and say, look, Clay ain't giving in. Let me go to a weaker vessel. That's the way it works in the spirit realm. Okay? I love this one. We will have increased territory. Can I tell you something what the Lord told me this morning? I don't fully understand where Susan and I are living right now. We're seeing promotion after promotion after promotion. We're seeing, we're being pushed to another level. But can I tell you, he told me, he said, because you've been faithful in first fruits all these years. I'm not trying to whet your appetite. I'm trying to help you understand. We will establish reigning territory by picking up defaulted destiny. You know, most of the apostolic authority that I walk into because other people defaulted on it, the cost was too great. What are you willing to pay? Can I tell you something? Quit moaning and groaning and murmuring and complaining about how hard it is and how this group's against you and that group's against you, and understand that's part of the process. God just working out. I had a man beat me out of $348,000 back in the 80s. Actually, the deal was made in 1978. He beat me out and God sent me to him. He told me, he said, go and ask him to forgive you. I said, God, we got a problem. Somebody's giving you wrong information. I know you're supposed to be all-knowing, but I didn't beat him. He beat me. And I went to this man finally. I wrestled with God for about 30 days. I went to him. I told him, I said, look, I just need to ask you to be forgiven. I forgive you for beating me out of that money. I just want to be freed from that. I just want to be relieved. And he scathed me. I'm telling you, he talked to me like I was dirt under his feet. I remember getting in the car I was driving down a gravel road away from his farm. And I said, God, I don't understand. Can you just please tell me something so I can understand? I did what you said, and he became even more vicious against me. And this is what he said to me. He said, I'm just breaking you. When you get to where things like this don't affect you, then you'll be broken as bread and sown to the nations of the world. You know that most of what comes against you is just perfecting you for greater things. But we don't want that process. We don't want that gospel preached. See, we just want this gospel. Let's just love everybody. We will be established. Next slide. Why first fruits? Number one, God's given us so much. Anybody here feel like you're not blessed? We'll cast that devil out of you. We live in the greatest nation on earth. I've been to nations where women stood 8 hours in line to buy a piece of fat back that you and I probably wouldn't even put in a pot of beans or turnip greens. 8 hours. And if you were the last person in the, or if you were, whenever that butcher shop sold out, this was in Timisoara, Romania, 1990. When it sold out, you didn't get your place back in line the next morning. You had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning because they'd butcher all night, open the shop the next day. We live in the best nation of the world. Amen. We panic when a snow comes in and buy everything on the shelves. And most of us got enough in our house, we can live a week. If you don't think you're blessed, listen, I've got 8 or 10 pair of boots and 8 or 10 pair of shoes. We drive good vehicles. Are you hearing me? We're blessed. It's a way of saying thanks to God. The first fruits offering shoots a prophetic arrow out into your future harvest. Everything is about first fruits, is about a future harvest. Get your eyes off of the harvest today. Get the eyes off the harvest that you've already got. The tithe is in relationship to what I already have. First fruits is in relationship to what God wants me to have. Tithing relates to what I make. First fruits relates to the harvest God wants me to have. Tithing relates to the past productivity. First fruits relates to the future productivity. Tithing protects what has been made. First fruits protects what I will make. Tithing represents our present needs. First fruits represents the increase over the next 12 months. The sheaf or first fruits represents the whole. The first fruits is your agreement for God's protection. The first fruit is a representation of your faith released in God. And the first fruit empowers you to live in abundance. The tithe entitles you to be blessed or entitled. The first fruits offering empowers you to eat of the wealth of your increase. Can I share something with you? I'm going to stop there. Let me go into that. This is an incredible story. John D. Rockefeller, at the age of 23, was a millionaire. At the age of 50, he was a billionaire. He was the richest man in the world, but he was very miserable. He was a taker, a grabber, and not a giver. This is a true story. At 53, he was eaten up with a physical disease. He was given by doctors 1 year to live. His stomach was so bad with ulcers, he could only eat milk and crackers. As a result of his condition, he began to seek to change. The change he began to bring about was to become a tither. He became one of the greatest givers of all times. This change brought about such a change in his physical well-being that he lived to be 90. Right there's proof. If you can't look at my life and see it, look at that. This is recorded in history. He was a grabber. He was a. Any of you saw the documentary on TV about all the Carniers and all the, you know, all those people and the wealth and the railroads and how they fought each other and all? He was so worried that he wasn't going to be the top dog on the pile that at that age he was dying. But he changed and became a giver and not a taker. Let me close with saying this. You need to understand it. If you have people in your life that are takers and not givers, you can't help them other than pray for them. You can pay their bills. You can fix their car. You can do everything. Give them a job. You can do everything, but they'll still be takers. God blessed those who are givers. Amen? And not takers. And that's what I want first fruits to be to you. I want to close with just sharing just a couple of things, and then there in the chairs in front of you are first fruits envelopes. I want to make very sure that I'm communicating well. So some of the leaders in the house, help me. If you are able to sow your first fruits today, we will ask you to do so. But if you want to make a first fruits vow or pledge, then you can do so. We ask you to finish that in 50 days. I didn't even look up what that date is. Now, let me share something with you. It's better not to make a pledge or a vow than to make it and not keep it. So don't get caught up in the hype I don't think I've hyped you, but don't get caught up in your emotion and make a pledge you can't keep. Please don't do that. That's not healthy for the house, and it's not healthy for your house. The next thing is, I want you to take just a moment now and look at it and examine what you're to sow. I want to be accountable, so I want you to understand. We have some debt we're going to pay on. We're going to take a portion of it, and we're going to start upgrading our media here. We want to, how many of you realize, this is not a commercial, but Mac equipment is just better for media stuff. More of that. And we're gonna go to Mac in our media department up there. We want to go to that. We've got a big screen TV to go on the wall behind the information desk where there's information out there when you come in the foyer. We're trying to improve some things. We're on the grow to 300 people at this house. And you look around and say, well, we ain't got 100. I'm telling you, we're on the grow to 300 people here at this house. That's what the leadership have come into agreement. That's what we're doing. And one of the ways you do that is by better communication. So we're trying to up our communication skills. So I want you to understand, we're going to reduce some debt, and we're going to buy some things that we need here. There's offering envelopes there. If you're watching, I know some of you have texted me. You're watching by web streaming. I want you to understand that you can go right there on the website and do it. And if you need to make a pledge, you can contact us at office@thecitygate.org. office@thecitygate.org. You need to understand that God is working, and he will work with you, but we don't want anybody. Anybody here feel pressured to have to do something today? But good, if you do, I want to try to answer your question so you don't feel pressured. All right, the second thing is, and I'm speaking to CityGate shareholders. If you know this is your family, this is your tribe, this is where you're supposed to be, I'm talking to you right now. One of the greatest statements we make to the enemy would be if 100% of CityGate shareholders gave something as first fruits. It's not so much the amount given as it is everybody being one. We're all in unity today because we're in the same room. We heard the same message. Okay? But there's something beyond that to where we become one through our actions. Let me tell you how we can become one. If I said, everybody stand to your feet and clap your hands on the count of three, we would become one out of that act of obedience. So I'm saying to every one of you shareholders here, please do something, not just because of the amount that you give, but do something. That speaks in the devil's face. Amen? We're not there yet, but when this house reaches to where 100% of this house is tithing, we're going to shake a stick at the devil. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. And I believe, you know, just so you understand, if you're a shareholder, I believe your tithe should go here. This is where there's meat in the storehouse for you. This is the one that we're going to help you when you go through that. 50 days is April the 19th, I'm told. And so we're asking you to do that. But if you need to make a pledge, we want you to write that on the offering envelope. But I also want to say this. If you want to wait, and if you're making a pledge and you want to wait a week and turn your pledge in next Sunday, you can do that. Does that take the pressure off? But if you are ready to sow today, we want you to fill your offering envelope out. If any of you are having difficulty with this, you spell thousand, T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D. And for you, star, it's million. Am I with that? Amen. I'm not just being funny. I'm just telling you. I believe she's got a $1 million heart. Serena, I said that about her. I promise you, if she had it, she'd sow it. She's probably a little bit like I am on this. Probably her husband is probably a little bit more rooted and grounded. He probably pulls back on her giving because she's a giver. I promise you. You get around Star, she's going to bless you. She's going to speak a word into you. She's going to bring the presence of God. Something's going to happen. I'm not just using her, but I watch her all the time. She cares about people. Where are you at today? I haven't done this recently on the first. If you have a a question that's just burning in your spirit before you give. I'm going to make my, Susan and I are going to make ourselves available in just a moment as others are bringing their first fruits, okay? But you can come and ask us because I want your question answered. Now, okay, everybody look at me for just a moment. Everybody looking? Watch me close, okay? I just stepped out of my apostle role and I stepped into my brother in the Lord role. You understand that? I want to speak to you as your friend today. Okay? I'm not speaking as Apostle Clay. I'm not speaking as Papa. I'm not speaking in any of those capacities. What I'm speaking from is just as your friend. Will you please practice first fruits for your benefit? Will you at least honor the Lord enough if this is the first time you've heard it taught or taught the way I teach it or wherever, even if you disagree, will you look past my ability to communicate properly and look into the Spirit and look at my heart? I want you blessed. I want y'all fulfilling ministry. Everett, I want you to have that job that's going to provide to where you're not having to run. I want you to have your own place. Prayed that this week when I saw some of your posting. You know, this is the word of the Lord. It's time for you to get out on your own. That doesn't mean anything wrong at your house. It just means that God wants you to He wants you to spread your wings and fly. I believe 2015 is the year you're going to do that. Right here. For you, your household. Matt and Natalie, Jeanette, Chris and Lord, I could go around the room. What is it? The Rushes, y'all are kind of sitting on the fence with this. How far is the process coming along? But the harvest is you want it completed, and it's double fold this time. Am I understanding right? That if you're wondering what I'm talking about, they're adopting two more children. Woo! Yeah. Can I tell you why? Because God told them. They have the ability to produce. Amen? But God spoke to them. And they're working on this. I so respect you. I cannot tell you. If you could be a mouse in my pocket and hear how I boast about y'all in other places. Y'all are profound to me. Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. If God told me to go have surgery and not have any more children natural and start adopting, I would have argued with God a long time. Number one, I don't want to go under no knife. And number two, come on. It was like God spoke, and the next day they're doing it, you know. But let me tell you, you want the complete of the harvest. That's what this can be about. Ministry here. Made sense? Somebody come and move this pulpit for me. Can we just listen for a moment? It's 12:33. I'm going to get you out of here real quick. But let's just listen for a moment. Just ask the Lord what you're to do. One of the greatest debates that I ever had in my life was on the front row of a church at First Fruits time when God challenged me to give twice as much as what Susan and I had come in agreement we were going to give. Now, how many of you realize if you're husband and wife that when God speaks to one, that doesn't mean the other one heard it? And so we begin to have this godly debate. We were whispering. That's what made it godly. And I finally looked at her, and I had I'm a collector of guns, and I had a particular gun at that time. And I said, well, look, I so believe God spoke to me, I'll sell that gun so we can pay this first fruits. And I remember her words. Her eyes got big. She looked at me and said, you've really heard from God, haven't you? And I said, yeah. And we doubled our giving that day. And I later sold the gun, but I didn't have to sell the gun. God provided a way for that. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're supposed to do. I believe this first fruits is so significant, because how many of you hearing these words that 2015 is a year of an open door and breakthrough and all of this is going on? Well, I believe sacrificial obedience triggers the opening of those doors. And I believe God's giving us as Citygate shareholders and family, and with that, the opportunity today. Okay? I'm going to pray over you, and then when I finish, we're going to be at the front. I want the leaders here in the house to come forward and stand. And if you're bringing your first fruits, we don't want you to just drop it in the basket. Number one, release faith. What are you naming your seed for? What are you believing God for? Okay. Number two, release that faith for that. And then we're going to pray for you and bless you. Amen. What is it God's speaking to you? I just see the heavy hand of the Lord. When I'm talking about heavy hand, I'm not talking about God forcing you to do something, but I see the weightiness of God in the room today. This, can I share something with you? I appeal to you as your friend, don't miss the day of your visitation. Don't miss an opportunity today. This is very sobering, but I so feel, every time I do this, I feel it, but I feel today is so significant to some of you. Some of you are so struggling financially, you're living check to check. This can be the seed that changes that. Can I just ask one other question? Have you heard my heart today? Not just my words. If you've heard my heart, that's what I want you to hear, because I really do. My desire, my motive in teaching this is to see you blessed. It's not to have more money here at the church. Let me share with you. I have ability to produce more money for this church. All I got to do is just book up a bunch of meetings. I turn down 14 invitations a week to go and preach in other places on average. And all I have to do is just turn that way. People want my gifting. They want me. You know, Paul said this, I robbed other churches so I could come and be a blessing to you. Can I be true? I've robbed other churches for you here. In the same term that Paul was. I've gone and preached in places because they asked me to, because I knew it would bring an offering in so we could buy equipment that we needed here that we didn't have the budget for. But today, let this be sobering to you. It's real key. I believe God's moving on some of your heart to, you came thinking about one figure and God's telling you other. I believe some of that might be smaller, but some of it might possibly be larger. Yeah. Won't the leaders come forth? Stand with me.